for this second week in a row, the gospel gives us this great figure of St. John the Baptist. Last week with the call to repentance. And this week we hear a little bit more about his identity and what his mission is. And then we see how closely those two are tied, connected together. So often in the Gospels, when we hear about the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, it's often in a negative light when they oppose Christ and his mission and his work. But maybe today we can hear these questions that they're asking with a excited anticipation. For centuries, the chosen people have been receiving prophecy and being prepared to receive the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. When Moses died, he had promised that there would be one greater than he who would come, that the prophet would come. Elijah was prophesied that he would return. All coming to usher in the new age, the new kingdom, freedom from slavery. And so they see this man who last week we heard about his crazy, the way he dressed and his very unique diet, who was living out in the desert, baptizing, calling people to repentance, not afraid to call people out for their sin, this very unique character. And so we can assume and we can understand that maybe they thought he was the one who was to come. Are you the Messiah? Are you the Elijah? Are you the prophet? And John the Baptist, as we heard last week, and as we know his story, had so many people coming out, walking miles and miles to see him, to hear his preaching and to be baptized by him. How easy would it have been for him to say, yeah, I'm he. Or to kind of bask in the popularity of all the attention he was receiving. How readily and how quickly, how easily he said, no, I'm not him. I'm so low. Last week, he can't even untie the sandal. The one coming after me is greater than I. He was so confident in who he was that he had no problem pointing to Christ, knowing that his mission was to bring the light, to testify to the light that was to come, to prepare the way. It was his identity and his mission tied together. He was confident in that. Are we? Are we who also have been sent to prepare the way of the Lord? Are we who also have been sent to testify to the light? Are we confident in who we are based upon who Christ is? Do we know Jesus Christ? This is the invitation for us every day of our lives, to come to a deeper, more intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that when the world throws out so many ideas about who we are, how we're supposed to be, what means that we're supposed to undergo to be somebody, to be important, to increase our reputation and our followers and our likers and all these things. This season of Advent is supposed to help us pause, to slow down, to be quiet, to enter once again into this quiet yet excited expectation of the coming of the Messiah, who we who have been locked in the slavery to sin and darkness have been set free because God became man, was born in our lives, and brought light to the darkest place of our hearts, of our families, and our world. And because of that, we have no reason to shy away from the truth of who Christ is, and he should be the foundation of our identity and the reason for our mission. He should be our everything and our only thing. And it is this that we can truly rejoice. This is why Mother Church invites us today to rejoice with St. Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians. He says, rejoice always. Not only in the good times, not only when things go my way, not only when I get what I want, rejoice always. Saint Jose Maria would say, if things go well, praise God and rejoice for God's providence. When things go bad, praise God and rejoice that he counts you worthy to share the sweetness of his cross. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. How often do we hear this command to pray always, pray without ceasing, to be in constant communication with our Creator, with our Father? Which, yes, all day long, our hearts should be tuned into him. But we necessarily must set time aside daily for that communication. Not only to talk, but maybe more important, to listen. Those of you who are married, you know how important setting aside time intentionally it must be to communicate with your spouse. It can't be a simple passing word in the hallway or a series of text messages. You must set aside time, even daily, to maintain that relationship. This is what St. Paul is reminding us today. And he says, in all circumstances, give thanks. Again, not just when things are going well and you get your way. Always give thanks, because somehow God's will is being revealed to us and we're able to participate in the unfolding of his kingdom. In all circumstances, give thanks. This is God's will for you, is what St. Paul says. He desires you. Our Father in heaven wants us to give thanks to him for all things, because by doing so, we admit to him, to ourselves, and to the world that God is the source of all things. And if we have that confidence, that God truly is the source of all things, then we can persevere through the rough times, the bad times, even the times when we fall back into habitual sin. We can rejoice and pray and give thanks. For our Father is faithful. The one who calls you is faithful. That's what St. Paul says. Who calls you? It's an ongoing, active verb. The Father never stops. No matter where you are or where you've been or where you are right now, the Father is calling out to you. As we rejoice in the beautiful gift of salvation, being set free from the darkness of sin and slavery, that we have the opportunity through our baptism to live in the light, we rejoice exceedingly, always. We pray for the grace to pray without ceasing and to give thanks in all things, because we have come to a deep knowledge, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And because we know who he is, we know who we are, and like St. John the Baptist, we know who we're not. And because of that, we can move forward with our mission of sharing this life-saving message of Jesus Christ to the entire world, to everyone that we encounter, to our family members, our brothers and sisters, to our enemy down the street. We pray for the grace to be overcome with the joy that comes from a deep knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's pray for that grace today at this Mass, that as we who are prepared receive the Holy Eucharist, that we leave here this evening on fire, so that when the questions come to us, our answers, like St. John the Baptist, will point back to Jesus, the source of everything, the light of my life. Amen.